Welcome to Insights Matter, brought to you by SAP. My name is Ramon Ray, editor of Smart Hustle Magazine. I'm joined by Cindy Jutras of Mint Jutras. Cindy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Ramon.
So Cindy, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Mint Jutras.
I've been operating in the world of enterprise applications for 40 plus years, and mostly with ERP type of companies, but actually I should say, or predecessors of ERP companies, because ERP isn't quite as old as I am. But I made the transition from the software world to industry analyst world about 12, 13 years ago, and formed Mint Jutras in 2011. So Mint Jutras is a research advisory firm. My clients are companies like SAP and other software vendors. I do electronic survey-based research that augments and supplements my opinions as well as my experience in dealing with the industry for so long.
And talking about experience, I mean, kudos to you for having such a years of experience in the industry. It's a more rhetorical question, but are you surprised sometimes how the industry has changed and evolved from when you first covered it to now?
You know, when I really think back about when I first started, it's mind-boggling what the changes are. But of course, everything was a little more incremental over 45 years. But when you look back at what the changes are since then, it's really a whole new world. What's even more interesting, though, is I've probably seen more change in the past 5 to 10 years than I did in the 30 years before that.
I think some of your research has shown, Cindy, that growth is happening. Is that correct? And why is it happening? What's going on with that?
Well, it's interesting, Ramon, because this year, I do an electronic survey every year. And this year, I suspected that growth was back because, let's face it, we're coming out of a decade of economic uncertainty. And I felt that growth was back, but I really wanted to validate that assumption. So I placed some questions in my survey that were around growth. And the very first one I asked was asking companies to self-describe their growth.
Which can be a bit subjective,
Exactly. Asking them that. Exactly. But the reason I did that was, and I did also ask percentages. But the reason I asked the subjective question first was because, you know, single-digit growth for a very small company doesn't move the needle. But it could be very substantial for a multi-billion dollar company. So it means different things. So I first asked them to characterize it from explosive to aggressive to modest to moderate to modest to minimal to none. And the result wasn't surprising. It wasn't surprising in that it was a classic bell-shaped curve. So it was centered over moderate growth, but there was some explosive growth. There was some no growth. That wasn't a surprise. That validated my thoughts. What was a surprise was the percentages. Because I asked, what was the percentage growth that you had experienced over your last fiscal year? What was the projected growth? And also I asked some questions about profitability, because if it's not profitable growth, then it's not sustainable.
Absolutely. And that can be, they're a different topic, but that can be a trick for some companies. Wow, we're growing, but you have no profit.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
What was amazing to me were the numbers. It was like 13, 14%.
That's huge.
On average. I thought so too. So I started digging. I thought, well, you know, maybe it's skewed because it's a lot of small companies. But the distribution of size of companies through the sample was pretty even. And I did find larger companies growing a little less, lower percentage than small companies. But it wasn't a big enough difference to explain the 13, 14%. So I looked at it by industry, sector, you name it, I looked at
it. You're like the Sherlock Holmes of numbers.
That's right.
You dug into this.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sort of a data junkie. There was one way of looking at it that tended to explain those high percentages. I finally carved out a sector that I called high growth companies.
Okay.
They were the ones most likely to say it was explosive or aggressive
right.
growth. They were the top 15% in terms of the actual growth and projected growth.
And let me ask you, Cindy, why do you think this is the case? Why do what separated these companies that were growing so high so much from others? Why do you think this is the case?
I think they hit on the real way to grow.
Okay.
But in finding that, I found those companies grew 6 times faster
wow.
than others. So the all others was 7%, mm-hmm. which is a much more reasonable
sure.
expected number. The others were the high growth companies like 40s and 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to get into where they see the opportunities
mm-hmm.
for growth. What's interesting was when you really break it down, there's really only a couple of ways a company can grow.
Okay.
You can create new products
new
and
products
services.
Is one. Got it. Yep.
You can sell more of what you have.
Okay.
I mean, it's bifurcated.
Right.
It's really pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
What's harder from a sustained standpoint are those new products and services. But the vast majority of companies that I surveyed are still looking for that to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not an Apple,
right.
who is creative and always innovative, you're not going to be able to sustain that, and you're not going to get the kind of explosive growth.
And when you
growth.
Talk to those who are watching us today about this aspect of growth and opportunities, what would be your key message from what you found for them to grow? So one, that's how can they grow, and or two, what are things they should watch out for that
well,
your research found?
Well, I think, yes, look for new products and
okay.
services. I mean, that can give you your explosive spurt.
Right.
But you have to look at other ways of growing your business, expansion through
yep.
new territories, more feet on the street, mm-hmm. increasing your channels, getting more of your customer's wallet through cross-sell and upsell.
Yeah.
Maybe not entirely new products, but sell your whole product portfolio.
Right. You already have the customer. They trust you. Why not?
Exactly. And, you know, there's all sorts of numbers and projections about how much it costs you to sell a brand new
sure.
customer versus keep and retain and upsell an existing
right.
customer. And those numbers are staggering.
Right.
I don't create those numbers, so I can't give you
I
what
they are.
I think
it's a trust factor. It's easy to sell to someone you know, like, and trust.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the role of enterprise applications. We mentioned to expand to another country. We mentioned globalization, hiring other employees, things of this nature. Many ways we can grow, but to do all this, and again, Cindy, you're the expert on this, but I would guess that you need some software infrastructure,
yeah.
something to help you do that. Let's touch on that a bit. I mean, what is the role of an enterprise application, such as SAP, that has in these companies that are growing? What role does that have?
I think there's three elements.
Okay.
One is productivity.
Productivity.
Because without a good solid system, there's productivity leakage.
Mm.
You're looking for data. You're trying to figure out how to do something.
Right.
You're doing it manually versus automated.
Okay.
So there's an element of productivity. There's also an element of communication and collaboration.
Communication, collaboration.
Okay. And having that single source of the truth and the data to support that level of collaboration
right.
and newer level of communication, newer technologies to support the level of collaboration,
mm-hmm.
that's important. And the final aspect is adding a level of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard about that on stage today mm-hmm. with Bill McDermott
with Sapphire.
Talking about the intelligent enterprise. And that's really something that you can't overestimate today or overemphasize. You really need that level of data-driven decision making. You just can't grow
yeah.
Based on gut feel anymore.
Yeah, and final question for you, thought is, why do you think SAP is so focused on this aspect of intelligent enterprise? You heard it, I heard it as well, this aspect of the enterprise being intelligent, companies being smarter, being more innovative, and again, as we've heard from many people, focusing on the customer. Why do you think SAP is so focused on an intelligent enterprise for their customers? Why is that?
I think this whole concept of data being the new oil,
mm-hmm.
data being the new currency, is really something that is real
yeah.
today. And, you know, an analogy a lot of people throw out is, you know, think of oil. Oil runs your car,
mm-hmm.
but you have to refine that oil before you put it in the tank, in your gas tank.
And I use oil in my hair, too, by the way. Not
I don't.
Yeah, continue, sorry. Oil powers your car. Go ahead.
So you need to refine that. And SAP has that powerhouse of technology.
Yes.
To make that happen and to bring it all together, as opposed to these isolated little pockets of technology.
And that's important. I think that's why, I mean, again, when you talk about enterprise applications, if you don't have the software layer, if you don't have some intelligence around your business, it can't happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Cindy Jutras, thank you so much. And again, Cindy, one more time, the name of your company is?
Mint Jutras.
Awesome. Thank you so much. My name is Ramon Ray, editor of Smart Also Magazine. This has been Insights Matter, brought to you by SAP.